From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Bridge. It's a pig and a poke. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, it's Monday evening, July, let's call it the 13th, 2009.
Sure, let's call it that. This is show 048.
That's great.
Yeah, boy, we got a rhythm going tonight, don't we?
Yeah, the thing is, I was feeling really wily up until, like, the thing started to roll.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say wily, I mean, like, mine jumping from one thought to another in an amusing way.
Like, ready to spar with ideas?
Yeah, let's be like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know,
boo-ee.
On far.
No,
let's clear
luck.
Out the very short big board.
Sure.
193 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions.
Sure.
7 slots left in the Disciples of Lore. Where's Poochie? People talking about us. Who cares? let's get straight to the fresh.
You know what?
What?
We're going to deconstruct the show tonight.
Okay.
I'm you declaring mean like... that. For example, I'm no longer enamored with calling it the fresh.
Oh,
I don't even know if it needs a name. I don't know. It just sounds a little...
I don't think you ever liked the fresh.
I was always okay with it, but it is... What's the opposite of grown on me?
It's grown stale.
It's grown away from me. It has receded.
Well, so basically... Well, its thing is we don't really have a construction. It's sort of morphy.
Yeah, you know? It's true.
I mean, it's better than calling it new business. And the thing is we don't really have old business.
Yeah.
So there's not really a fresh. It's just what's happening.
Yeah,
now.
It's true.
So let's.
I don't know. I think that's one of the, like, you know, we're complaining about worrying about feeling stale. I think that's one of the things that we've
okay.
started to rely on a structure too much.
Well, that's ironic that the fresh would mark the stale.
Yeah. How about that? There's a
okay,
front runner.
Sure. Sure. So, okay. Should I? I'm just going to tear up this page. You know.
That'll work. There it goes.
It's gone.
Oh,
it's
man. Gone. We're flying without a net now.
Okay.
He said, mixing a metaphor.
Well, now what? Okay, let's write a story. I'll say the first 5 words.
Oh, good Jesus Christ, no. I'm not saying I don't mind the structure. I just don't like calling it the fresh.
Oh, so that's really what this is about. You don't want to deconstruct the show.
I do want to do that as well.
No, you want to implode the fresh.
I want to get my dig in on you and your contributions, basically. Everything
well,
you
do
sucks.
There'd
How's
be
that?
No show left. There would be no show.
Certainly last week with your compelling rant about manufactured celebrity. Oh,
that was a terrific rant. That was picked up by Esquire, my friend.
You and the New Yorker are like this.
Ted
now.
S. Preston, Esquire. Okay, smart guy. I've torn up my notes, so.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have any.
Okay.
Because so I never have any. I always rely on your notes.
Well, then I'll smooth out my notes here, all right?
Reconstruct. That's the sound of scotch tape stretching. And
well, I was actually too busy playing Rock Band to do a proper job with the notes.
Uh-huh.
But I have some older stuff. We have some Twitter stuff. And I have, actually, speaking of Twitter, I wouldn't even call it a note. It's just sort of a thing that made me go, huh, that kind of seems like it's true kind of thing. It seems like the whole Michael Jackson death theater thing almost like burned Twitter out. Like people, there was so much to talk about that it's like, you know how like the bubonic plague would spread?
Mm-hmm.
Like remember that last year when half the planet was just taken down?
I do recall that.
But like viruses that are truly virulent...
which they sort of are by their very nature, but I know what you're getting at.
Yeah, the most virusy viruses.
It's the virusist virus.
Like, you would ask, why aren't they just around all the time? But the reason is they rip through living things so fast that it's like, oh, whoa, out of fuel. Oh, okay. And they go dormant and, I don't know, live in a cave for a while.
Those are also known as the stupid viruses.
Well, yeah, but the ones that kill lots of people. And I guess they kill a lot of other things, too, but we tend not to notice as much unless they're birds and we think they're going to infect us, right?
Right.
Anyway, I think that's what happened with Twitter, like, in the last week or two, is people were so hepped up about having these things to talk about that it, like, ripped through and all of the memes were just all there at once and everybody just got sick of it. Not that there aren't still people on the Twitters, but it's like, I've been predicting the death of Twitter because it's never going to die, like rock and roll.
Yeah.
But I think it's in a transitional stage.
Yeah, well, it's certainly, if nothing else, it's in a recharging stage. Yeah. I personally have thought that the recent, well, relatively recent influx of actual celebrities onto Twitter has helped that toward that same end of sort of burning people out on Twitter. Certainly the novelty of, oh my gosh, that's famous person X and they're right there. And that's a discussion we had probably 20 podcasts ago or so.
Every five podcasts, we kind of have the same discussion.
I suppose that's true. That's because we fell into a stale pattern. But
okay,
nonetheless,
the truth is I did tear up my notes and I'm looking off of the sheet from 12 weeks ago.
I gotcha.
But I knew back then that Michael Jackson was going to die.
You're a prescient, prescient man.
You had a point?
My point being, just for example, every so often I'll see a link to some page that's like a collection of celebrities on Twitter.
Yeah.
And those used to be kind of short. And now they're really long and involve lists. You know, there's entire lists dedicated just to, say, producers and directors on Twitter.
Well, I remember when we first started going, we were like in the top 10, you know, comedy acts, you know, for maybe a week.
Yeah, something.
If that long.
Something.
But it does show you. It's been certainly been discovered and is no longer a thrill. I don't have a further point. Usually,
no,
I
have nothing more trenchant to say about it. We're just sort of noting facts at this point. So moving on.
Then maybe we should do this like wait, don't tell me, and just like assign points arbitrarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily to each other.
Just,
like, let's assign negative 5 points to Twitter. So right now Twitter is losing.
Oh, okay. I like that.
All right. Italy or France?
Italy or France? Italy.
All right. Next. Swiss Family Robinson.
Swiss. Wait.
No, that's not a question.
Okay.
I mean, it could be. Let's ask it as a question.
Okay.
Swiss Family Robinson.
Family, followed closely by Swiss.
Really? What drew you to family? Or is it because of your family nature? You're a family man, like
Colin Oates described. I am a family man, not a family guy. Family man.
Leave me alone. I'm a family man.
And Swiss because I like Swiss Miss Instant Cocoa.
Oh, it's hard not to. Do you remember her pudding pops?
I do not.
Oh, they were one of these.
No, I remember them. I never had them. I was never a pudding fan.
I don't think I am never a pudding fan, eh?
No, the texture of pudding has always sort of put me off.
Now, do you mean like lippy pudding or any pudding? You know what I mean by lippy pudding?
Lippy pudding?
Like some people are really skeeved out when, like, especially if you make it with whole milk, that pudding gets the skin on top.
Oh, I gotcha. No, it's just sort of the overall...
Because I love
sort of not quite
skin.
Gelatinous. It hasn't made up its mind whether it wants to be a liquid or a solid, and it's just sort of sitting there in the middle.
It's a Bingham fluid.
Hey!
You know, I'm not sure if it is. I know ketchup is a Bingham fluid. May have talked about this in like.
And is
the
this
first
fluids
podcast.
That are enjoyed by Fred Bingham?
No, they are fluids. I don't understand it completely. It has to do with like thermodynamics and shit, where it behaves differently under pressure. You know, like that Queen song they were talking about.
Oh, they were talking about pudding?
Bingham fluids. But it has something to do with if it's under pressure, it acts like a, you know, plasma laser. But if it's in a bottle, it's just ketchup.
Gotcha.
God, how did we get here?
I have no idea. Oh, 10-minute mark. We're pretty
Robinson.
Much coming right up on it.
Swiss Family Robinson.
Swiss Family Robinson, okay. What of them?
I used to have a Swiss Family Robinson playset.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it was a thing back then, and it certainly was a story. But I wonder, it always just seemed cool. Like, if it was just the Family Robinson,
mm-hmm.
would it have been anything? And I don't remember anything particular about them being Swiss, but somehow that was laudable.
Yeah.
And again, this is like the half-baked notes day, so I have no sure. point here. It's just an observation.
Well, maybe it's sort of the interplay of all of the syllables. Like, it's not even so much the concepts behind them, but like, you know, the Swiss Robinsons doesn't quite
yeah.
work. The
Too
Swiss
factual.
Family doesn't work. The Family no. Robinson doesn't work. But you put them all together, and suddenly you've got a theme park ride.
Like DJ names. Like, they always have that. There's a little rhythm to it, mm-hmm. you know. Coco Morongo, you know, the famed top 40 DJ that was around for so many years.
Right. Morongo in the Morning, I remember.
Yeah. But, yeah, I could go with that. And I think there's an exoticness to Swiss and
there
chocolate.
There is. It's like exotic, but it's a bland exoticness. It's an easily palatable exoticness.
Right. It's not like, right, you don't have to fear it. There's still like white people. Don't worry, you know.
It's not like Congolese then. Family Robinson or Malawi Family Robinson. Did I pronounce that right? I don't know. Anyway.
Right. Okay, then. I have a couple of... Well, do you want to take... Why don't we take a Twitter thing? I have a couple of longer-form topics.
That, okay.
They're not screeds, so don't worry about that.
Right. Because we know how those go. Here
I
we
like
go. Twins Chick One.
Yes.
Who I happen to know off the top of my head is Aaron. One of our fans has asked if either of us am superstitious at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you superstitious?
Am I?
Have you ever been superstitious?
Well, I have. Actually, it's funny because I do not consider myself to be superstitious.
Right.
Per se. Like, for example, I generally avoid walking on the cracks in the sidewalk.
Yep.
But
yep,
I do
yep.
not feel that should I step on a crack... it is a harbinger of doom, or that I will, in fact, break my mother's or any mother's back.
Were you more anxious about it when you were a kid, and now it's just sort of...
No, it's just sort of a thing. Sort of like, here we go. It's not so much worrying about portents as it is sort of a, I don't know, maybe it's just a mildly obsessive thing. For example, the halls of my elementary school... The floors were tiled in a particular pattern uh-huh. that I couldn't even begin to describe. But certainly, let's just say there was different colored tiles in the floor.
Right. Right.
And I was really, I guess, for lack of a better term, I was kind of obsessive about only walking on certain colored tiles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wouldn't ruin my day if I didn't step on one, and I wouldn't have to do it over and over and over. I wasn't OCD.
Right.
It was almost sort of like patterns. A challenge. It was sort of like an Indiana Jones challenge. Like if yep. I stepped on the other colored tiles, then like poison darts would come shooting out mm-hmm. the walls at me.
I had the same exact thing. This could be one of the reasons why we tend to get along well.
Mm-hmm.
Like our kitchen had a tile that was all patterned, and it would change from one day to another. Like, would I travel along the lines or along the jar or hop from splotch to splotch?
Uh-huh.
And we did have one of those rooms in our cellar where if you stepped on the wrong tile, like the floor would fall away and it would be
nice.
Like a 2,000-foot drop.
Nice.
So I got good at that.
I bet you did.
That's why I'm good at PowerPoint. I'm visually aligned. I guess that's it. That's not really I don't think that's what Aaron was getting at.
Yeah.
You know, is there that kind of, you know, Stevie Wonder song thing that you are beholden to certain habits beyond the OCD. I would say that I'm not superstitious. I don't like being poked. I don't mean,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know in a sexual
You don't
way.
Like an index finger jabbed into any part of the surface of your body.
Oh, that's, maybe it is an OCD thing. And this is something that both you and Jonathan have had a good hearty laugh at
uh-huh.
on occasion.
Uh-huh.
If I am sitting at a table eating,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
I Well, first of all, I'm picky about where I sit. Uh-huh. And it could be my half-Italian of me that always wants to keep an eye on where the knives and guns may be coming from.
Right, the Wild Bill Hickok in you.
Yeah, the Wild Bill Hickok. I don't want to spread the whole mafia myth.
And is that, to be clear, is it that you don't want your back facing the majority of the room?
It's not that I don't or don't want something. It's just that if I'm sitting in the where I feel like there's traffic around, I think it relates to being poked. Uh-huh. That I don't want to feel like I'm in the way and then I'm going to be jostled because I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that is a little more odd is if there is a knife in particular, or even a pointy fork, mm-hmm. or even a peaked spoon that is facing me on a clear line, I will feel compelled to move it. So, for example, there's a knife pointing at me on the table.
Uh-huh.
I will turn it.
Even
so
if the blunt end is pointing at you?
Blunt isn't as bad. It's really, it's like I'm picturing a laser coming out the end of the knife, or the fork, or the spork, or the spatula. However, if I can place a glass, like say the knife is pointing at me from across the table and I notice mm-hmm. it.
You just have to cut off the laser somehow, and then you're
right,
okay.
Right, deflect it. Pew! You know?
You have to deflect the targeting system.
Yeah, and it's cool. And I remember this one restaurant, I guess they had good service or something, where they had people who would, you know, place your plate for you mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And I also tend to kint my utensils outward
yep.
so that they sort of point to an apex about 10 feet in front of me. And this damn waiter kept coming by and straightening them. You know? So like every 10 minutes, you know, or less than that, 5 minutes, I would cant the silverware outward and you'd straighten it again. Anyway, that's
you know why you do that?
Why?
Because you like to think of yourself as at the base of a giant A when you eat.
It's the Fonzie theory of dining.
It's the Fonzie in me.
Okay.
Fonzie theory of dying is another front runner. There's lots of good ones in this episode.
Anytime you can get Fonzie in a title, it's gold.
Yep. I'm going to throw another one at you.
Sure, do it.
Phil Nelson.
Phil.
Is that what that says? Phil? Yep. Phil Nelson asks, best sandwich you've ever had?
You know, I read that one, and the thing that popped into my mind technically isn't a sandwich at all, and we've already talked about it, and it was that chicken pot pie from Fresno, California.
Yeah, that was really pretty goddamn outstanding.
I'm not a big sandwich guy.
You're not. Even the Bender Schmender?
I like the Bender Schmender. If you are from Gaithersburg, Maryland, you probably know what the Bender Schmender is. It is a gigantically piled sandwich, and it's not so much the sandwich that the great treat is about.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that when you order one, and more importantly, when they bring it to your table, they have like a little Mickey Mouse Club march gang that comes out.
It gets the Phil Ferrell's treatment?
Oh, God, yeah. They have a bell, and they shout, and there's a sign that says Bender Schmender, and they bring it to your table. And
then they cram it down your throat.
They're still yelling and shouting. And
they kick you in the jimmy.
That's the treat at the end.
That's awesome.
But I'll say the Italian beef, the Chicago Italian beef sandwich is a thing of epic glory in my
really,
mind.
Really? A specific one or just the theory of the Italian beef?
I think it was from Mr. Beef that we had. Were you with us that time?
I'm trying to remember. I know I've had a couple of Italian beef sandwiches with you.
But that one is a real go-getter, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
You know, I gotta be honest, I'm trying to think of the great... I'm not much of a sandwich guy either, truth told. I love a good PB&J.
Sure.
And I could go the generic answer of the Welsh's grape jelly, any smooth peanut butter, but let's say, for the sake of argument, Skippy peanut butter on Martin's potato bread. I am adamant about the fact that the only bread for sandwiches, other than, say, a Reuben or something, is Martin's potato bread.
I'm with you there. Oh, I totally forgot grilled cheese, but that's a different category
of food
altogether.
Yeah, no, that's not quite the same thing. And, you know, you could also say a hot turkey.
But it's not.
Like a hot open-faced turkey. Technically, it's sort of a sandwich because there's bread and there's meats, but yeah, it's not the same thing. So yeah, I am totally with you in the grilled cheese doesn't count, even though it's technically a sandwich.
In fact, I'm thinking when we're on the road, it's very rare that we will go somewhere for sandwiches.
Yeah.
Very rare.
Although, you know what? We stopped at Jimmy John's a while back after having driven by them hundreds of times. We don't have them, or at least I don't have them in Philly. I don't know if you have them in D.C.
No, we don't.
But I was very surprisingly pleased by the Jimmy John's sandwich experience.
Because you always feel a little cheated, like you, not like you wasted your appetite,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's the bread, like unless the bread is just really awesome, most of a sub of any sort or a sandwich is the bread.
Yeah.
So
here's a question for you.
All right.
Do you prefer a crunchy sort of focaccia-ish bread for your sandwiches or a soft, mealy bread?
Ooh, I just remembered my favorite sandwich ever.
Okay.
When you said the focaccia thing.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, this place does not exist anymore.
Oh.
Or I would send all of you there, like, now.
Yeah.
It was in L'Enfant Plaza in D.C., my dad used to work in that neighborhood for a government agency, and every once in a while I'd go downtown, and he would take me to
this
place.
He was a G-man, wasn't he?
I can't say what he did.
He worked for the shop.
Okay, I can. He was in personnel. All right, there we go. And it was this place that sold these pizza bread sandwiches, and I know you're going to say, oh, you get those all the time. No. It wasn't like focaccia. It was actually like pizza bread,
mm-hmm.
and like the New York crust type where it's very chewy and
yep.
it has that thick, I don't want to say yeasty taste, but a well-developed taste.
I know just what you mean.
And there would be like a little sprinkling of salt on the top, which just made it pop. And thinking back, it must have been sea salt because that's what gives it that pop.
Yep.
And onto this, they would put... must have been troops down from New York cold cuts, the mortadella,
the gabagoo.
The gabagoo, everything that's good. And it was just, they would serve it hot. And the big thing was, the owner was militant about not allowing any other food or drink into his restaurant.
Nice.
So if you came with a group and like, four of you came along and the fifth was like, eh, I just brought a salad. They would literally lift you up by the scruff of your neck and out you went.
Nice.
No, drink from somewhere else. No, homie, don't play that. So there you have it. That's my favorite sandwich. And that's probably why I don't like sandwiches anymore, because I can't have
you're spoiled
sandwich.
Yeah.
Sigh. Let's see. Oh, I meant to ask you, Paul. Oh,
well, yep. I had remembered a point I was going to make about superstition, which is to a degree a peek behind the curtain, which makes me think it's justified in revisiting the topic.
Okay.
Because, you know, people seem to like that when we give a little peek. Sorry, I poked you there. A little peek into our operations. I again, this is probably the 4% gay actor in me.
Okay.
For shows... I'm not obsessive about it, and it doesn't ruin my day when I don't do it, but I usually, I'd say 90% of the time, feel much better about performing somewhere if I have, if not changed my entire outfit, at least put on something different, sort of, you know, call it a costume if you want, you know, it's probably that, you know, actor instinct, what the hell have you, you know, especially now that, you know, performing with Colton as often as we do, we're performing in a lot more theaters these days than we had been. Yeah. When I'm performing on a theater stage, it feels weird to me to just go out there in the same jeans and T-shirt that I wore to the show. Even
like
if I just put on a different T-shirt or a different pair of jeans, it's not about the level of dressiness per se so much as it is just sort of like the putting down the everyday persona and putting on the I'm up here waggling around for all you people.
Right, Mr. Rogers would not talk to the children in the same clothes that he just got home in.
That's right. He had to put on the zippered up cardigan.
That's right, because he was a showman too.
Yeah.
In
but you know, I mean,
vein.
And it's you know, we seem to be touching this subject a lot. It's you know, it's not a requirement, and it doesn't even mean that the show will be bad or I'll feel bad about the show if I haven't change the clothes, but at the same time, it's just sort of a, you know, maybe it's a habit that I've just gotten into. Maybe it's a holdover from our Da Vinci's Notebook wacky clothing days or something. I don't know. But, you know, I have a stable of about four or five different shirts that I tend to bring with me. And I get a little pang of regret when I've either forgotten them or just didn't have time to change or what
have
you.
I think it is the sense of showmanship. I kind of feel the same thing, and I'm going to tack one on.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's because we're doing, at least when we're touring with Colton Moore Theaters, that it almost is a superstition where I do not want to see the audience mm-hmm. until we step out on stage.
Mm-hmm. No, that's completely understandable.
And like, you know, if we have friends and folks that have come to the show and that might be out in the audience, there it's almost like I am tapped on the shoulder at a certain point that says, oh God, you know, you got to get out of here. Godzilla's coming, you know,
yeah.
He's going to crush you if you're not backstage. And just, yep. I guess it's the same thing. It doesn't feel like a show to me if you see the audience come in.
Yeah.
Or like the wedding thing.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sort of torn about that myself. Like given, I don't mind seeing the audience. Yeah. If I can help it, I don't like being seen by the audience.
Yeah.
Usually I can't help it because the control freak in me wants to make sure that the merch table's all set up and the people are there and know what they're doing and stuff. So a lot of time we can't avoid it.
Yep.
Or, you know, if we're in a music rock club or something, as opposed to a theater when there's not much of a backstage or there's no way to get there without going through the audience. Again, you know, often you can't avoid it. But at the same time, I know just what you mean about you sort of don't want to break
pop
the
that
spell.
Cherry,
is that,
you know?
Is that too cheesy a way of putting it? You don't want to break the spell of before it's time.
Well, I'm going to tack another one on.
Okay, tack on, my friend.
I'm tacking, because it's kind of the same thing. It's like we're not a band that puts up a huge wall between us and the audience.
Yep.
But I almost feel like I need to feel like this is an anonymous mass of people.
Yep.
Even if I can see your faces, and I also cannot abide having especially close friends or people I know right in front of me when we're performing.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's like they know me as an individual, and not like I'm just some stilted persona when I'm on stage.
Yep.
But I am different.
Yep.
And it does. It breaks that spell. I don't feel relaxed that I can just do my thing. So that's the tackle.
I know just what you mean. I'm with you on that.
It's just Family Robinson.
Yeah.
If there are people in front of me and the Swiss disappears.
The Swiss is gone.
Yep. The Swiss is gone.
Wow, we're at almost like 28 minutes now.
And you know, we were off the rails on the crazy train.
Yeah, how about that? I part of me doesn't want to tempt the fates and say, let's just end it on this one, unless you had something you really wanted to get to, which I'm fine with.
Well, there was someone and this was the thing I meant to bring up beforehand. Someone asked about something that may or may not happen in regards to a future gig. I'm trying to discreetly.
Oh, I know. Well, I was going to say something in that regard.
Yeah.
Let me say this. In the past 2 days, we have received two awesome emails, and hopefully they will both pan out, in which case lots of people, us at the top of the list, will be happy.
Yes.
And I hate it when people do that kind of stuff. And if we could talk about this stuff,
you would be the people we would,
you would
talk
be the people we
with.
Would tell first, but we can't.
Really,
but suffice to say, things are, you know, things are happening in the Paul and Storm backstage, behind the scenes, behind the curtain, Oz area.
And if you've lasted this far in this podcast, then you're the people that we do want to apologize for any inconvenience as we get our new web scheme up and running.
Oh, yes. Thank you. We do understand there have been some people with some sound issues. We think we've got most of them sorted out. We will find out this week if the iTunes issue some of you have been running into will be fixed. We appreciate your patience and bearing with us. We are sorting it out and getting permanent solutions in place. So thank you for that.
No immediate gigs, but the Chicago trip for me is a couple of weeks. I've had some really awesome suggestions. Hey, keep them coming. Tell me about the neighborhoods.
Yeah. That is one thing for at least the short term. One other thing we can't do is have any polls until we sort out the problem with the polling thing. So unfortunately, we can't poll you as to your opinions on stuff, but feel free to send in comments, suggestions about, say, Storm's, your favorite sandwich or Storm's activities in Chicago. Go ahead.
You're talking about doing something different, like podcast-wise, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Something I've always wanted to do is interview someone.
Oh, yeah.
So the question is, who should our first interview be? And I'll just, leave it open. It could be whatever you think would be cool.
Yep.
You might surprise us.
Yeah, could be. Gig info. On Friday, August 7th, we are going to be at Milk Boy Coffee with the Arrogant Worms.
Yeah.
Yay, hooray. That's going to be a blast. We haven't seen those guys at this point in almost 2 years, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Weird, isn't it?
They're probably like 9 feet tall by now.
I know. They've grown so much. They're all grown up. So we're going to be there Friday, August 7th. And then Friday, August 28th, we're going to be at Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia. Big homecoming gig.
Oh, yeah.
All weekend, Labor Day weekend, we're going to be at PAX, Penny Arcade Expo in Seattle, with a big concert, including ourselves, MC Frontalot, and Jonathan Colton, among many others, will be Saturday, September 5th. And then a bunch of stuff coming up in September, October, November, December. And all I'm going to say about that is, hear this sound here? You hear that? That's the sound of me waving around my application to renew my U.S. passport. That's all I'm going to say.
How about that?
How about that?
Well, I'm Storm.
And I'm Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Twist dials, turn things, and make other stuff happen.
Go do things.
Bum, 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 bum Pa 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 p